This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
We'll get back to some baseball talk and discuss Padres moves, non-moves after the first day of baseball's general managers meetings coming up at 7:35 this morning. Got take on Woods in a couple of minutes. Chance to win some tickets to Tom Segura. Did have an interesting Monday Night Football game last night. The Kansas City Chiefs. Football's only remaining unbeaten team has not been an overwhelming dominant team, but they've managed to win every single game, and they once again put themselves in position in a close game again yesterday. They trailed 17-10 to the Tampa Bay Bucs entering the fourth quarter. Patrick Mahomes did one of his Patrick Mahomes specials where he runs to the line, flips it underhand to Samaje Perine to tie the game. Looked like maybe a serious injury for Patrick Mahomes on that play. He was kind of rolling around on his ankle, had to be helped all the way across the field, but miraculously, as he kind of got to the sideline, he started looking better and did not end up missing a single play. Went back, led Kansas City on a second straight touchdown drive. DeAndre Hopkins, his newest target, second touchdown of the game. They take a 24-17 lead, but they were unable to finish the deal. They were forced to punt, and Tampa Bay got the ball back and drove down and scored a touchdown with 27 seconds left on the clock. So it's 24-23 Kansas City, and the Bucs have the decision to make. Do you go for one in the tie, or do you go for two and the lead? On the road, a rainy night in Kansas City against an unbeaten team that was favored to beat you. Todd Bowles, the coach of the Bucs, went with the one-point decision, and they made the kick, and it went to overtime, but the Chiefs won the coin toss, went right down the field, scored on a Kareem Hunt 2-yard touchdown run, game over, Bucs never touched the ball, 30-24, Chiefs remain unbeaten. Okay. And of course, you had a lot of second-guessing after the game as to why didn't you go for two and just have a chance to win it in regulation and not go to overtime against the Kansas City Chiefs.
It's one of those weird spots for a head coach to where it's not enough points. It could give you the win. It could, but it's not going to put the game away, right? So 37 seconds left. A field goal wins it.
27. I'm sorry, 27. 27. Not a lot of time.
Three timeouts.
So yep. You're going to be able to run maybe 5, even 6 plays if they're efficient.
And get into field goal range?
Let's assume it's a touchback on the kickoff. They start at the 20.
Or the 25, yeah.
25. So they need to get 25. They need to get 30 yards.
Yep.
In 27
We've
seconds
seen
with three
Patrick
timeouts.
Mahomes in, what was it, in that playoff game? He had like 13 seconds and got them like 40 yards down the field and kicked a field goal. He's done it before. He's done it many times before. It sounds like you kind of agree with me. I defended the decision to go for one because of the time left. Now, Todd Bowles could have done a better job in bleeding the clock at the end and not leaving the Chiefs with, you know, any time. Like, score that touchdown in the last 10 seconds, you don't have to worry about that field goal and that comeback at the end. But it's tough to do. They ended up calling a timeout with 33 seconds left. They didn't have to, but... Yep. Again, you don't want your team all of a sudden panicking and running out of time, so you've got that interesting decision. But
there is.
I think my point was, I know that if I kick, if I make the two, if I miss the two, I've lost the game, unless I get an onside kick, which is unlikely. If I make the two, I've got the lead, but I haven't won the game,
correct.
And I have now put the Kansas City Chiefs in a position where they have to be ultra aggressive, a situation where they have been extremely successful, even with 27 seconds, getting the ball 30 yards to their big-legged kicker, Harrison Butker, who was making it from 62 in warmups. So all they have to do is get it to basically the 45 across midfield to have a good chance to beat me. So they go for one, and it actually did play out the way that he kind of wanted it to. Kansas City had... They were more conservative because they didn't want to turn it over and lose it in regulation.
Yep.
Ended up with a fourth and one at like the 39. Like, obviously, if you're down one, that's an easy go for it. You're only 20 yards plus away from a field goal to win it. You go for it, you probably make it. You have a chance to win that game. They had to punt because you can't turn it over on downs, and they had the chance in overtime. They lost the coin flip. You know, that's out of their control. Kansas City went down and did what Kansas City did. I can see it both ways. I really can.
There is something to psychologically about battling back and then tying the game. There's just something you never know what can happen. You take your chances in overtime and think, hey man, you know, Patrick Mahomes, we got to win the coin toss. And if we lose it, hey man, we're still in this thing. You live to fight another play. If you don't get that 2-point conversion, game's over. You know, and I understand it's a ballsy call, man. You're on the road, but again, leaving them 27 seconds, three timeouts, you have to factor that in, that they could march down the field and kick the game-winning field goal anyway. So you kind of live to fight another play, which I understand. Now, it does bring into question, it's pretty ridiculous that both teams don't get a shot in overtime.
What needs to happen for the NFL to change
that
rule? So
here's what you do.
Like, they're not immune to change.
They love change. Just bang overtime. Just bang it. You get a tie, you get a tie.
No one likes ties.
Of course, man. Oh, nope. Well, then it behooves you.
Go to college rules.
Then what is Todd Bowles going to do there?
Well, if there was no overtime,
he's going for two.
I would think Todd Bowles would be more than happy to take a tie on the road. That's a win.
Okay, so
that's a win.
But you just
on the road
said nobody likes ties.
No, but
if
you're looking at the analytics of it, and you look at your schedule and go, we have to go to Kansas City on Monday Night Football in November. Well, I'd take a tie in that one. Absolutely, I'd take a tie and walk away pretty happy about my team and what they got done.
You either do it like college, which I understand why you don't, okay? I understand you don't want these guys playing more football late in games. You don't. It's a safety thing, but college football overtime is superior. It just is. It's superior. It's a superior product. Either you bang it all together and we only play four quarters, and if you get a tie, you get a tie, and it goes in the standings as a tie, which sucks, but you got to figure it out. I think it'll change the way the game is played. I think it'll change the aggressiveness of teams.
Can we not at least do overtime? If the team wins the coin toss, they go down and score. The other team still gets a drive to at least tie it with a score or go for two.
You could, but then now you're committing teams to basically 10-minute full overtimes because the Chiefs needed almost 6 minutes to score. If Tampa then gets the ball and has to go for a touchdown, so they're going for it on fourth down, they're probably using the entire clock. They're trying to avoid these 10 long-minute overtimes by making the rules the way that they do. Ultimately, Woods, a tie would be the most fair, competitive way to decide it. But this is entertainment, and people want to be entertained. And guess what? Overtime, whatever format you choose, is entertaining. It's compelling. It gives people stuff to talk about. You know, make those tough decisions. You have to make those hard calls and see what happens. It was much more fun to see those teams play overtime than have it just end in a tie and they all go shake hands at the end of the game and no one's really happy with it.
Listen, I hate ties. I hate them. But if you're just going to do a coin flip anyway, what's the point? And you can still tie in the NFL, right?
You can at the end of the 10 minutes. Yeah.
it's not like it doesn't exist. Either give both teams a shot. It's just such a tired argument.
College overtime in the NFL would be fine.
Yeah.
You're not doing full field drives.
Right.
Is that the 25 or whatever?
I mean, but is that the right way to do it for two teams that have just duked it out and busted their tail and they're tied? You throw everybody on the 25?
And I've heard this argument before. You mess with the statistics in terms of, like, you know, guys have clauses in their contracts with touchdowns. All of a sudden, you play back and forth four overtimes, final score 68-67, and someone scores five touchdowns in the game. Fantasy football implications, like all of a sudden, oh yeah, my guy scored five touchdowns in that game because he had three of them in the overtime period. Changes the dynamic of pro football quite a bit if you played the college-style overtime.
I mean, it does, certainly, and I would hate to gamble on those games. I'll tell you that right now. You'd be a nervous wreck, but, you know, it is what it is. It's not a good system the way that it currently is.
It all comes down, like you just said, the entertainment factor, though. You tell me if those two teams duking it out in four overtimes from the 25-yard line wouldn't be entertaining?
It would be very entertaining, but they would also potentially die and be very injured, and then you'd lose, you know, some of your star players because they're playing an entire fifth quarter, essentially. And if they just keep trading blows back and forth and back and forth, I don't know, man. I think the health needs to be taken into consideration there. It is the NFL. I don't know how concerned they are with it. You know, it certainly would take a special breed to get out there and do it again, trade blows, touchdown, 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 over and over until somebody won.
Huge game for Travis Kelce last night. Chiefs are now, what, 14 wins in a row dating back to the playoffs? Last Christmas was the last time the Kansas City Chiefs lost a game. If you want to play Take on Woods, you can call in now, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Today is also the NFL trade deadline, one of the few actual sports things on the calendar for today. I believe it's 1 o'clock our time, 4 o'clock East Coast time. Already had a couple of trades this morning.
The Lions added Za'Darius Smith
from the Browns.
He's I know Dan Campbell was kind of talking last week about
have to replace Aiden Hutchinson, who got hurt earlier this season. Lions having a great start to their year, so they're going for it for sure.
Love
bolstering
that for them.
And I think the Bears traded Khalil Herbert, running back to the Bengals so far this morning.
Cleveland also traded Amari Cooper.
That was earlier.
Okay. To the Bills.
Yeah, the Browns are out of it there.
DeAndre Hopkins last night, I know he had two touchdown catches. The catch he made.
Oh, Cowboys getting Jonathan Mingo from the Panthers, wide receiver as well this morning.
Did you see the catch that he made in triple coverage?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. we were walking out.
Why do you even throw that ball? There's three guys on you.
We were walking out of the studio yesterday, and I go, the Chiefs don't have any receivers. And Ben goes, well, they've got the washed-up DeAndre Hopkins, and he was a beast last night.
He was a beast. All right, so it looks like we got a couple people calling in. Let's play it. It's time for Take on Woods.
It's time for Take on Woods.
Take on Woods.
All right, looks like we got James on the line. James, good morning. How are you?
Good morning and happy belated birthday.
Thank you very much. Take on Woods is brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Woods tells you all about it. It only takes 15 minutes. You don't have to get out of your car. For directions and discounts, go to SoCalOilChange.com. That's SoCalOilChange.com. And you're playing for an instant prize today. James, if you beat or tie Woods, we will give you a pair of tickets to see comedian Tom Segura live at Pechanga Arena this Friday night. And we'll even let you choose the category here. We've got this for that. It's all two-second songs with the word four connecting each song title. We've got five one-word song titles that begin with the letters SH. And we've got Lover, Not a Fighter, song titles and artists that include the word lover in the name. So this for that. Or Lover, Not a Fighter. James, what would you like to play?
This for that.
Ah, here we go. It's our two-second song category. Five different song titles, all connected by the word four in the middle, F-O-R. You'll have 60 seconds in a two-second song category. Every time you need to identify both the song title and the artist to score the point. So five two-part questions for you. You go first, Woods goes second, and we'll compare scores. Paul, are you ready with all of our songs?
I am ready.
All right, James, if you don't know one, we can pass. We'll come back to it if there's time left on the clock. 60 seconds begins when you hear the first song. The category is this for that. Good luck, James. Let's take on Woods.
Dire Straits, Money for Nothing.
Correct. Song number two.
Yeah!
That's the Beastie Boys, Fight for Your Rights.
Correct. Song number three.
Finally I figured out what it took a long, long time.
Pass.
Song number four.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
That's the Rolling Stones, Sympathy for the Devil.
Correct. Song number five. All right.
Pass, go back to
number three.
Finally, I figured out what it took a long, long time.
Go back to number five.
Number five, try it again.
All right.
Time is up. You got three, though. Good job, James. It actually wasn't Blues Traveler. It sounded a little Blues Traveler. It's Sister Hazel's All for You. And the last one was the Black Keys' Howlin' for You. Also had Money for Nothing, Dire Straits, Fight for Your Right by the Beastie Boys, and Sympathy for the Devil by the Rolling Stones. So three is the score to beat. Don't know if that'll be good enough. We'll see. James' score is locked in. Woods doesn't get the category, but he does get to know that we've got an all 2 second song category today. You know how it works, so let's put 60 seconds back on the clock. Woods, your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck. Let's take on James.
Money for Nothing, Dire Straits.
Correct. Song number two.
Yeah!
You gotta fight for your right to party, Beastie Boys.
Correct. Song number three.
Finally, I figured out what it took a long, long time.
Sister Hazel. Come back to it.
Go number four.
Please allow me.
Sympathy for the Devil, Rolling Stones.
Correct. Song number five.
All right.
That's Howlin' for You, Black Keys.
Correct. Song number three.
Finally, I figured out what it took a
sing
long,
it.
Long time.
Go to the chorus
hard
and sing
to
it.
To say what it is I see in you, wonder if I'll always be with you.
The hell's the name of the song? Can't remember. Touch My Taint. Sister Hazel.
It's All for You.
All for
by
You.
By Sister Hazel. But you did sneak out the 4-3 win over James today. James, nice
admirable
try, but Woods gets you. This for that. Money for Nothing. Fight for Your Right. All for You. Sympathy for the Devil. Howling for You.
Went to a Bulls playoff game, and I believe it was in the finals when I was in my Chicago days, and Sister Hazel played the... played the national anthem and the halftime show. So that's how weird it was back then, was that Sister Hazel came out and played like three or four songs at half.
All right, James's loss is everybody else's gain. We will have a chance to give away those Tom Segura tickets later in the program to another Tier 1. Stand by for that. First, though, we've got Don't Do This coming up next, Woods.
I can't wait.
You can't wait for Don't Do This.
I love Don't Do This. One of my favorite segments.
How about an update on Jason Kelce's situation? He addressed it yesterday.
He did address the media.
On the Monday Night Football telecast. So we can get an update on that. And the Bengals player in hot water spotted where he shouldn't have been spotted. Coming up next with Ben and Woods after traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network.
Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
All right, I'm going to start Don't Do This with a story that easily could have been a do-do this.
Yes, it could have been very sweet.
There are elements to a do-do this story here for Gonzaga, their longtime head coach, Mark Few.
Few.
And his son, Joe Few, who is a, you know, end-of-the-bench player on the Bulldogs, walk-on type, you know, guy.
How did he get on that team?
I have no idea. Must have a connection somehow. But anyway, the season opened last night, college basketball season. Sixth-ranked Gonzaga absolutely blew the doors off eighth-ranked Baylor.
But they win by 40?
101-63. Gonzaga looks dangerous. They'll be coming to Viejas Arena 2 weeks from yesterday.
Very cool.
To take on the Aztecs. So they've already been put as a number one seed by Joe Lunardi. It takes one day. Gonzaga could be a number one team in the country before too long. But because of the blowout, Mark Few had an opportunity to get his son into his very first college basketball game, called on him. The crowd in Spokane was so excited. It was like, you know, Lakers fans cheering for Bronny to make a basket. Like, oh, Joe Few is going to get in. He's going to get a chance to score. This is going to be remarkable, right? Do this story. Until, VJ Edgecombe happened of the Baylor Bears. Maybe a little frustration after getting their, you know, heads beaten in all game, but he absolutely poster dunked Joe Few. I mean, as like over the top of him, one-handed slam dunk. Joe Few like looked like he was dead on the floor at the end of the dunk right there. I mean, it was as bad of a get postered kind of dunk you're gonna see for Joe Few.
It's like me taking Bo out to spring training this year and saying, "Why don't you grab a bat? And get in there and get you an AB against Michael King. See how that goes. Let him throw that front hip sweeper at you and just see how you do.
Joe did get two assists, did not score. Apparently alive. Probably going to take a little ribbing from his fellow players.
It's in his locker speak right now.
You know, Paulie was making the point that before the show, Joe Few was probably the best player on his high school team, his junior high team, whatever. But there's always that level you get to. I mean, unless you're, you know, an NBA star, you get to that level where finally the competition is a little too much for you.
We're all told.
And that
we are all told
at 15. Some of us told at 50.
Yeah, that's exactly. But we're all told.
Yeah. Joe Few may have gotten told at like 19 last night.
Next time the dad wants to get him in a game, does he say, "I'm good," or does he give you the Carter limp?
Hey,
my ankle's hurt.
You got to bounce back. You can't let that be your final defining moment.
I broke my back.
Yeah, my dad, sorry. My back is broken. It's spinal. He could have broken his back on that dunk.
Spinal.
This was a crazy story. Cincinnati Bengals, never immune to some interesting stories from their players. But they had drafted, Benny, from Alabama, Jermaine Burton, a very talented wide receiver. And Jermaine Burton has been implemented into the game plan against the Raiders, I think, last week. Had been implemented into the game plan. And T. Higgins had hurt his quad or his hamstring. And they said, "All right, man, this is going to be, we're going to work you in. We like what we've seen so far." Well, they get to the walkthrough on Saturday, and Jermaine Burton, wide receiver for the Bengals, just doesn't show up. Doesn't call, doesn't text. The old no call, no show. As an NFL wide receiver who has been written into the game plan, does not come to the walkthrough. Now, they texted his agent. Agent said, "Oh, yeah, just maturity issues, and we're working through them." Emotional maturity is something that Nick Saban questioned when he coached him at Alabama. And I don't. So they made him inactive for the game. He did not play. And then somebody, of course, saw him hours later in pajamas, sitting at a casino playing slot
machines. So I saw the picture, and I don't know how long he was at the casino. It looked like he showed up to the game the next day in the same clothes. So maybe he went there that morning, or I'm not sure the timing of it all. But
was he on a heater and just decided not to go to practice?
It's possible.
Well, what do they say? You never walk away from a heater.
It's just a walkthrough. I mean.
But you're playing slots. Like, can you get on a heater playing slots?
So I assumed after seeing that picture, yeah. Well, he's playing the Raiders. I mean, he's Vegas, obviously.
Right. No.
You know, the game was in Cincinnati. One of those riverboat casinos, I guess, is where he was spotted.
Yeah.
It certainly looked like him.
It like, you could almost understand the allure and the lights, the bright lights of Las Vegas reeling you in.
Sure.
And never letting you go.
There's no clocks anywhere. Right. I lost track of time. My bad.
I met a girl.
I'll learn my lessons.
A place called Spearmint Rhino. She really likes me. And I think I can...
Coach, you don't understand. She really likes me.
Coach, she really likes me. I'm sorry. I won't do this again. But then it was in Cincinnati. So he was like in the Kentucky River or something, gambling on a riverboat.
What?
So, yeah, don't do this, kid. I mean, you don't want to throw your NFL career away. The no-call, no-show bit is just inexcusable. I mean, it's just inexcusable. In every job.
Really, in every job.
In every job, yeah. In every... Take the response. If you're not going to make it, you got to let somebody know. No-call, no-show is pathetic.
Paul, where's Woods this morning?
No-call, no-show. Could you imagine?
I mean, bro. I can't even.
Somebody takes a picture of Woods at 7 Mile Casino.
Yeah, 7 Mile Casino. Sorry. See, the difference is, I would text you guys and be like, I'm on a heater. I'm up 10 grand. I'm not walking away. Start the show without me. Right. I'll be there.
I'll give you $1,000.
Yeah, shut your mouth. I'll give you $1,000. Yeah, call us with an update.
Tell Adam I'm sick.
I think you guys would be okay with it.
Yeah,
really.
Probably.
Bro, you don't understand. I'm not losing. I cannot lose. I can't lose right now. Just stay. If it were Ben, I'd be like, well, then you have to stay. Stay. I got it. So this is a dumb move.
All right. Finally, I'm going to give this a doo-doo this.
D-D mega doo-doo.
Updating the story from Don't Do This Yesterday, Jason Kelce, who the video of him grabbing the phone out of a fan who had used a homophobic slur and referring to his brother and Taylor Swift before the Ohio State-Penn State game, tossed it, you know, spiked it to the ground. I think social media was like 99.9% in Jason Kelce's favor in this situation. But despite that, he still went and took responsibility last night on the Monday Night Football Countdown show on ESPN.
You know, listen, I think everybody's seen on social media everything that took place this week. Mm-hmm. I'm not happy with anything that took place. I'm not proud of it. And, you know, in a heated moment, I chose to greet hate with hate. And I just don't think that that's a productive thing. I really don't. I don't think that, you know, it leads to discourse and it's the right way to go about things. And in that moment, I fell down to a level that I shouldn't have. So I think the bottom line is, you know, I want to live my life. I try to live my life by the golden rule. That's what I've always been taught. I try to treat people with common decency and respect. And I'm going to keep doing that moving forward, even though I fell short this week. I'm going to do that moving forward and continue to do that. So, I think we got a game to focus on. Obviously, a matchup. I don't think this is the platform to necessarily go into more detail. So get ready for this Chiefs game.
I like that. I chose to fight hate with hate.
And I was wrong.
And I was wrong, yeah.
It's, you know, turning the other cheek can sometimes be the hardest thing to do. Clearly, that stupid fan was definitely in the wrong.
Yeah.
But Jason Kelce acknowledged, and I think, you know, did a service to everybody by saying, just because I had maybe the right to, you know, respond to that,
sure,
doesn't mean that I should have responded,
sure,
to that. And that's a... That's a good thing to mention, and thus...
Hand signal in the chat says, I'm good on these Kelce dudes at this point.
Yeah,
I think Paulie feels the same way.
Fair enough.
Regardless of how you feel,
it's a good,
what
a
can
good
you
statement.
Say to that apology?
Yeah,
like, that's exactly what needed to be said.
Yeah.
And that's don't and do this for a Tuesday.
that was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Now, Padres made some decisions yesterday that will start shaping their offseason at the general manager's meetings. We will get back to some baseball Padres talk coming up next with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. But the list of free agents is now in with one caveat in Major League Baseball. You still have, I believe, what is it, 13 guys who have qualifying offers that were and could choose to return to their teams on one-year deals worth $21 million and change. That's the same for everybody. The qualifying offer doesn't matter what kind of season you had, what team you were on, what contract you had the year before. The qualifying offer is always the same number for every single team, and 13 were extended. Padres did not extend any qualifying offers yesterday, and we'll talk about what those implications are for the team and the offseason moving forward after a quick check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. So, Woods, no big surprise that the Padres did not extend qualifying offers to either of the free agents who were eligible to get them. That would be Ha-Sung Kim and Jurickson Profar. So both guys now unrestricted free agents, can talk to any team, but can't come back to the Padres on that one-year $21 million deal.
Correct, yeah. And here's a list of who was given qualifying offers. Obviously, Juan Soto got one from the Yankees.
Won't be taking it, obviously.
Corbin Burns from the Orioles.
Not him.
Alex Bregman from the Astros. Nope. Max Fried from the Braves. Nope. Willie Adames.
Nope.
Pete Alonso.
Nope.
Anthony Santander.
Nope.
He's a maybe.
Maybe.
He's a maybe. Teoscar Hernandez.
Possibly.
Nick Pivetta from the Red Sox. Mm. Christian Walker, first baseman for the Diamondbacks. Sean Manaea, $21.5 million qualifying offer, along with his teammate Luis Severino yesterday. And then old friend, Cincinnati Reds right-hander Nick Martinez. Again, since they introduced this in 2012, it was after the 2012 season, they've given out 131 qualifying offers, and only 13 players in all of that time have accepted that qualifying offer. And why you give it to, you know, why you offer it to a Juan Soto, why you offer it to a Corbin Burns is because if they sign somewhere else, you get a draft pick.
Correct.
Back. And so you're protected a little bit from just losing them and letting them walk away. But you know, Juan Soto obviously isn't going to need to play on a one-year deal. neither is Corbin Burns, neither is Max Fried, neither is Willie Adames, neither is Pete Alonso. Anthony Santander may. He may. He's 30 years old. $21 million, pretty good payday. You know, you can bet on yourself. Is he going to get more than that out on the open market? It's been kind of an up and down for him. If I'm Teoscar Hernandez, I know he wants to stay in L.A., but after the year I just had, there's no friggin' way I'm taking 21.
He was making more than that on his one-year deal with L.A. last
24.
Year. Had a really good year.
Yeah.
So I don't think it makes a lot of sense for him to tank it. The dilemma for players is always, it's a really good one-year deal. I mean, it's going to put you among the better-paid players in the league, but you forego the long-term security.
Correct.
Of free agency. And if you want to negotiate
a
4 or 5 year contract, and remember, in baseball, all contracts are fully guaranteed. So you may not get the exact same amount per year. You may settle for $17 million a year, but if that's over 4 years, ultimately you know you're getting the full $68 million over 4 years. Whether you play great, whether you get hurt, healthy or not, you want to lock in a long-term contract as a free agent, which is why most of the players who get qualifying offers decline it.
Christian Walker is an interesting one for me, too. He did not have the best year last year. Arizona, you know, I mean, that to me is like, all right, $21 million to stay in Arizona. I don't know, might be worthwhile for him. Sean Manaea, he had a really good year. Is he going to get more out there? Luis Severino was on a prove-it deal, I think. They signed him for a very little amount of money.
I feel like a pitcher, it's a pretty easy no. If I'm a pitcher, I have a chance to sign as a free agent a multi-year deal.
Yeah, Pivetta, Manaea.
I know I'm one bad pitch away from an injury that completely torches my value.
Yeah,
going forward.
You want more years.
And well, yeah, that 1 year, $21 million was nice. I want more years. So if I'm Sean Manaea, I'm turning it down. I'm looking for a multi-year deal. If I'm Nick Martinez, I'm probably turning it down and looking for a multi-year deal. How about the rise of Nick Martinez from guy that AJ Preller plucked out of Japan that none of us had ever heard of to now someone who's getting a qualifying offer and will probably turn it down, looking for a multi-year deal in free agency, probably worth, you know, what did Michael Wacha get yesterday? 3 years, $51 million. Yeah. I would imagine Nick Martinez will be looking for something in the in a similar range. What a nice rise from Nick Martinez in the last, you know, 3 years.
No doubt.
Very impressive. So, yeah, because the Padres did not extend qualifying offers to Jurickson Profar and Ha-Sung Kim, that avenue is now closed for that one-year return. But they can still sign them to a multi-year deal or even a one-year deal. There's no restrictions on the Padres negotiating with either of those players.
In the realm of Ha-Sung Kim and the Padres, if they were 99% sure that he was going to be seeking and signing a multi-year deal, you know, with the Giants or something, then you could extend that qualifying offer to get the draft pick. But we keep talking, there's that chance they could just sign him on a one-year, $10 million deal, kind of a prove-it sort of thing, see how his body responds, and all of a sudden you're paying him double or triple what you were.
If Ha-Sung Kim had been healthy going into free agency, I think it would have been a pretty easy call for the Padres to extend that offer because he would have been looking for, you know, 6 years, over $100 million. He would have turned down the qualifying offer. You would have gotten the draft pick. Because of the injury, a $21 million payday for maybe half the season just doesn't make a lot of sense for the Padres because then you probably lose him again after next season. You didn't really get the value out of him this year. If you're going to sign him to
a
one-year deal,
three times what he made last year.
Yeah, it's going to be less. You're not giving the guy a triple raise for half a season. You know, he's valuable, but he's not that valuable. So I don't think the Padres could really have extended that offer. Jurickson, I think, was the more potential candidate to do so. You know, his production was worth over $20 million this year. When you simply, you know, you look at like fan graphs and they show you what your WAR and your production is worth like monetarily based on what the salaries are, Jurickson gave you over $20 million in production this season.
He absolutely
did. So it's not crazy to think that the Padres would want him back even for a $21 million salary for one season. Would Jurickson have taken that? Maybe, maybe not.
I wonder how he feels not getting one. Do you feel, if you're a player like Jurickson Profar and you're coming off the year you just had and you think, yeah, you signed me for a mil. I think with incentives, he made three, maybe something like that. $21 million is a considerable, it's an $18 million raise.
I mean,
Are you bummed that you didn't get the QO? Or because we don't know what's going on behind the scenes.
Yeah,
I'm sure they're talking about a deal, right?
I'm sure there's
mutual interest.
I've got to imagine that when Jurickson talks to... He's still with Scott Boras, right? He's not with Scott Boras.
Okay. So.
He's with Manny Lozano. They're probably not looking for $21 million a year. They're probably not looking for like 4 years, $80 million. They're looking for something in the 10 to 20 range, so not getting
4 or 5 years.
Yeah, I think not getting 21 is probably pretty reasonable from their perspective, going, that's not what we were looking for anyway. We would be happy with 15 for multiple years.
Sure.
So, you know, I can see why the Padres aren't going to offer us more than even we were asking for on a one-year deal. So I doubt there's any hard feelings there. I mean, Jurickson will find motivation in just about anything. But at this point, yeah, I don't think it's a big deal that the Padres didn't offer him that one-year qualifying offer.
Yeah, obviously we're never, none of us are ever going to know what that feels like. So I have no idea if you're bummed, if you're, you know, you feel like, oh, okay, I guess, you know, it's just going to depend on what the two sides come to. If there's mutual interest, I'm sure there is.
Qualifying offer number this year is 21.
21.
Ours would be like $21.
$21.
Michael and Adam extended qualifying
together,
offer to us.
$2,100. We've offered it to you.
Amongst the three of you. Split it up.
Whack it up amongst yourselves, however you feel.
$700 before taxes.
It's a weird business, man. It's a very weird business. Yeah.
Profar in particular is just...
He's
in the most weird position I think I can ever remember. Has there ever been a better fit? Like, a player and a team, like, you can't picture him... Certainly can't picture him succeeding on another team, let alone suiting up for another team. And he's earned a raise. He's earned a significant raise based on his production last year. But I don't know. Does anyone think he's going to put up those numbers for the next 3 or 4 years? I don't know.
Keith Law ranked him as a top 10 free agent and thought everything that he saw from Jurickson Profar
is
sustainable for the next few years. I mean, if you could tell me that Jurickson is going to go, you know, 260, 270 with a 360 on base percentage, 20 to 25 home runs the next 3 or 4 years. $20 million would be a bargain for that kind of production.
Sold.
You know, from Jurickson Profar, who's also a great team leader, good guy in the clubhouse, well liked by his teammates. I mean, that's an easy call. If you think that it's even close to sustainable for the next 3 years, and again, he's not 35 like you all think. He's only 31 going into 32. There is an argument to be made that Jurickson absolutely is worth that. I just think there's a hesitancy around the league that even 1 year from Profar is not enough to change the narrative of what kind of player he is. And it wasn't a bad player. A guy who gets on base, a guy who's a good teammate, a guy who's a good utility player. Not necessarily an everyday all-star like he was last season. But he could be. This may be the first of several years where he makes the all-star game in his 30s. There have been many players who've kind of blossomed later in his career. It's not that common, but we've seen it. Who was it that was way better in his 30s? Astros. Didn't start his career great.
J.D. Martinez has been
J.D. Martinez
incredible.
J.D. Martinez is a great example.
Big Red, Justin Turner is another one.
There are several guys in the big leagues who have had, you know, a 20s that was unremarkable, yeah. And then all of a sudden something clicked in. They figured it out. And
Profar's tough because he's been on everybody's radar for like 15
right,
years
yeah.
And as a top prospect and quality player, but never lived up to like the hype that he had as a young prospect, and then finally figured it out. And
it's tough, man. You couldn't capitalize
a couple years ago.
It's hard to walk away from players like that, you know. And I'm sure there's interest from other teams. I know he was rumored to have some interest. You think about him in that lineup, right? What he could do. You think about him in that city, you know, playing with those fans. Holy smokes! Like that, he's an irritant. I think he would fit in great in Philly. But you know, what are they going to pay him? They are already listening on. They're listening on Castellanos. They're listening on Alec Boehm. They're listening on Marsh. Some of their kind of core pieces right now. I really don't know what they're up to.
Nelson Cruz was a great example of a player who didn't really lock in until late 20s, and then had a really good decade in his 30s.
Yeah, for sure.
In Major League Baseball. I'm not saying that, you know, Jurickson Profar is on that track, but you can't also tell me that we don't know that he's going to have a good decade here.
You have to thread the needle on what's best for you, what's best for the team, and what's best for the player. Those three things all coming together is
like a Venn diagram.
It is. It's really, really tough, man. It's really tough. It's really, really tough to figure out, and that's AJ Preller's job and Jurickson's agents to figure out. But I mean, am I going to miss him if he goes? Sure, but if that meant that I could get, you know, X, Y, and Z for that money, and they're going to help us win a championship, okay.
Joey Votto's not a bad comp.
Yeah.
Kind of better in his 30s as well.
You and Joey Votto, man.
Yeah, well.
This is Joey Gallo.
Or Joey Gallo.
This is Joey Gallo. This is Joey
Votto's elite.
This is
Joey Votto.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, we'll see how the Padres proceed. I still expect them to be patient in the Jurickson Profar pursuit. I would think Jurickson is always going to come back to the Padres one last time before he signs anywhere else. I don't think they're going to wake up one day, Jurickson's going to have signed a deal with, you know, the Cincinnati Reds and not even told AJ Preller, hey, by the way, I'm about to sign this deal. Any chance you want to match it? I think the Jurickson likes San Diego enough that he's going to always give the Padres an opportunity to come back to the table one last time. So sure. I expect patience when it comes to the pursuit of Jurickson Profar, but certainly they will pursue him and would like to bring him back this offseason.
Yeah, and it's wild, man, after the year that he had. It's wild to me that you're not just rushing to knock on his door to get him locked up, but that's just the way that baseball is now. I mean, there's just very few of those guys where you're like, no, I can absolutely trust you're going to do exactly what you did last year, consistency.
He's 31.
31.
And if he was 25, we would, you know, people, a rookie or whatever, you'd be like, give him a 12-year deal.
Yep, no doubt.
I don't envy that position.
I don't either.
Again, it's pitching that is still the most important area, I think, for the Padres to address in the offseason. We can get into more of that coming up in our 8 o'clock hour. Also learned something about the new coach of the San Diego State Aztecs yesterday that I found fascinating. We'll get to that and more coming up. Hour number 3 of Ben and Woods on the way on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.